Blog Talk Radio.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is J.R. Moore. It is Wednesday, the 7th day of January, year of our Lord 2015. Our prepper tip of the day, Jim Rawls has a new book out, Liberators. I encourage you to get it and read it. I think you'll find it worthwhile. I just ordered my Kindle edition this morning. I have the duty to report that in the last few minutes, hour or so, there's been a tragedy in Paris, France, at a newspaper. Newspaper apparently published a cartoon making fun of the Prophet Muhammad. At the current moment, we have 12 people dead, about 20 wounded. Two gunmen at large, armed with AK-47 Kalashnikovs, possibly a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. It is so tragic and so sad that the religion of peace strikes again. This clearly will be the initial topic we'll be talking about this morning. My friend Tim Spencer is patiently waiting in the green room. Tim Spencer is a husband, a father, a grandfather, a rancher, a veteran of the U.S. Navy Submarine Corps, and proprietor of the excellent website ruralsurvival.info. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, John. Yeah, that what you were just mentioning in your monologue is what I was trying to call you about earlier. But the religion of peace strikes again.
I'm at a loss for words. I can look at this religion as a form of psychosis. I don't know how else to properly even begin to describe this religion of peace, except it is a massive psychosis.
No, I absolutely agree with you, John. I don't know what else you describe it as either.
I use some adjectives I string together frequently, you know. Barbaric, dangerous, brutal, fanatical. You can string together a lot of adjectives, but the proper definition is mass psychosis. There's a billion people that believe in this bizarre belief system.
Now, you know, what brought this home to me, it's been several months ago. I don't remember if I told you or not. But I was doing a little background on something I was working on. And my daughter and I were sitting here at my computer watching videos of these Muslims doing some of the things they do. One of them we watched was a 6-year-old child caught by the Islamic State. He was Muslim, but the wrong type of Muslim.
Right.
So they saw his head off right with the adults.
Right.
How can a
right.
6-year-old child be responsible for what its parents told it, you know, I don't, I
and the, the child was still alive and while this was taking place?
Yes, they sawed off the child's head while he was alive, yes. And, you know, the brutality here is just incredible. And I saved the video, let my grandson watch it when he got home from school, even though he's only 14, but to show him the lies that he's being taught in school about how great Islam is.
That's happening in the public schools in Salem, Missouri, Dent County, Missouri.
All public schools. But to the best of my knowledge, you know, Islam is looked on very favorably.
I think that some parents need to have some heart-to-heart talks with the members of the school board.
I agree.
That needs to happen in private, not in a board meeting, but in private.
Right.
That needs to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have children or grandchildren in public schools and Islam is part of the curriculum, you need to make an appointment with individual members of the Board of Education. That's the people who control the deal. Not the principal, not the teachers. These teachers don't have any choice about what they teach. Very limited choice. The principals have limited choice.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But the Board of Education is where the power lies at the local level, isn't it, Tim?
It is. And one thing I wanted to qualify, I'm not sure if this is actually part of the curriculum or just the conventional wisdom there. You know, I haven't checked into it that much. I just remember, you know, hearing some of the things my grandson repeated, and there's no way he would get that at home. I sincerely
doubt that in Dent County, Missouri, South Central Missouri, that many, if any, teachers of their own volition have decided that Islam is something that the students in Dent County, Missouri, need to have any knowledge of beyond a cursory knowledge of how barbaric, freakish, and dangerous it is.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, John. But, you know, who knows what their textbooks say? I don't. You know, he never brings them home. But
it might be good to ask his grandchild to bring the textbooks home so you can educate yourself. You need to have your ducks in a row before you approach anybody in the school board, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I agree.
Everybody listening. I would encourage anybody who wants to meet this challenge to physically get in your hands any textbook that has any reference whatsoever to Islam in it, and review it yourself and reach your own conclusions, and then, only then, approach the members of the school board about your concerns.
Yeah, that's very good advice, John. Excellent advice. But, you know,
it would help to have a coalition of a number of parents that have reviewed the same material. And And we've seen this in the past, Tim, where the member of the school board or the principal will say, "Well, Mrs. Jones, you're the only person out of 1,000 that's complained about this."
Uh-huh.
You know, so don't put yourself in that trick bag. The more parents that reside in the school district, you know, these boards of education, they're elected positions, elected by the members of the community that they serve.
That's correct.
So the more registered voters you have from that jurisdiction that are raising questions and complaining about the religion of peace being taught as something normal and fine and desirable in these public schools, the better off.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. This is a sickness. And I personally do not know what the appeal is for the average person to have anything to do with Islam. I cannot understand the appeal. And it's not that I'm Christian. You know my religion. And,
right.
But it's just, to me, it is sick. There's no other way to put it.
Well, in most parts of the civilized world, if a man was to have sex with his recently deceased wife, I believe he would be incarcerated and charged with a crime, wouldn't he?
Well, I would hope so, if not committed or both.
Now, that's considered normal in Islam. Farewell sex. For a man to have sex with his recently deceased wife. That's considered normal and desirable and perfectly acceptable in the religion of peace.
Well, you taught me one I didn't know. I didn't know about that one.
Well, just put it in you're the researcher. Do a Google search. All you need is two words, farewell sex, and you'll get an education.
Oh, I bet.
Not one that you particularly want to have, but... The gunmen that attacked in Paris, apparently they're pretty hip to the modern technology. And an hour before they attacked the Paris newspaper with Kalashnikovs and a rocket-propelled grenade launcher, they tweeted a joke an hour before the attack. Tweeted an ISIS joke an hour before the attack. I'm going to see if I can pull that up here. And, of course, they were screaming, Aloha, Allahu. How do you say that? Allahu
snack
Akbar
is what I say.
How do you call it?
Snack bar. Snack bar. You know, like you go get something to eat, I just call it snack bar.
Jim. Oh, we got to keep our sense of humor, regardless of how bizarre and freakish and barbaric this religion is. Let's see. I got the article up here. Let's see if I can find this. Well, it went away. I had the article up for the tweet, but it went away. These guys were ready.
These guys, they weren't no slouches. I saw a picture on BreakingNews.com of the terrorist taking out a police car as it was coming towards them. Of course, they're both standing on the ground outside the vehicle, just outside. And, of course, the police officers are still in their vehicle, which makes them sitting ducks.
Right.
It didn't show the aftermath, but you could see what was fixing to happen.
Well, the officers are dead, obviously.
I'm sure.
Almost without a doubt, the death count will go up as the day progresses.
It started out with one, then it went to 10, and then it went to 12, and I had to take my grandchildren to school this morning, so I haven't looked yet to see what the current count is.
Well, as of a moment ago, the Dodge was still reporting 12, and they weren't even sure of how many wounded. It's, as you can imagine, it has to be utter and complete chaos in that neighborhood where that shooting took place.
Oh, yeah. In fact, some of the pictures I saw even showed that the various apartments around the area had bullet holes and fragments and all that through the windows and in their walls. And apparently, there was a lot of... Firepower expended.
Absolutely. Well, I can imagine the Paris police dispatch calls going out for this terrorist attack while it was taking place, and the officers, the Paris police officers, attempting to respond to help their fellow officers and help the citizens to get through this attack. What an absolute nightmare.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Here's one that just, one headline just now came out. It says, four cartoonists, including chief editor Stéphane Charbonnet, among those killed in Paris attack on Charlie Hebdo newspaper.
There was some planning that took place there. They had specific people they wanted to murder.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they were willing to murder anybody and everybody close by. The collateral damage was not an issue for them, obviously. But they had specific targets that they wanted to kill. They wanted to murder. The religion of peace strikes again. Go ahead.
Yeah, they were specifically after those cartoonists.
Those
are the ones, apparently, that were most offensive to the Muslims. You know, it almost makes me want to take up character drawing.
That's a talent I certainly do not and never have had. But the cartoonist and the editor appear to have been the primary targets, and they obviously achieved their goal of murdering the cartoonists and achieving their goal of maximum death, destruction. And, of course, revenge, they revenged the prophet, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what they said. In fact, the police came out right after it happened and said that they were stating that they have avenged the prophet. So, of course, the next thing I expected was the French government to come out and says and say that it had nothing to do with Islam, but I guess they're not willing to go that far.
Well, that toothpaste is out of the tube. They would make themselves look silly in the eyes of all French people and the world at large to attempt to make a statement like that.
Well, that's what they did with the last three minor terrorist attacks. So, you know, they came out and said, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with Islam. Every one of them was mentally ill. Well, if you're Islamic, you're mentally ill to start with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a shame there wasn't a couple of people in that Paris newspaper who had concealed carry permits and some 1911s at hand.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
A 1911 would not be my first choice to stand up against a terrorist with an AK-47, but hey, you know, if it comes down to it, I'll do whatever I got to do to save my life and the lives of innocent people.
I agree with you 1,000%, John. I don't even know if there's any such thing as concealed carry in France. I have no idea. I know nothing.
There's almost always a back door for people who are willing to jump through the hoop and pay the price.
Okay.
Privates, you can. There's, you know, the Rothschild estate, the main one, is in a Paris suburb, I believe, with gold-plated gates at the entrance. I have no doubt whatsoever that wealthy people living in France have personal protection in the form of bodyguards who carry some pretty nice weaponry. All with the proper legal documentation so that they can do so and not be sideways with the law. Of course there is. But these would be conditions and legal hoops to jump through and money that the average person would never, ever be able to accomplish.
You're absolutely correct.
I had an Illinois concealed carry permit back in the mid-1980s. And as a Missouri resident, I had an Illinois concealed carry permit. And I had an Illinois FOID card, Firearms Owner Identification Card. I used to carry it with me when I'd go to gun shows and ask the Illinois gun dealers, have you ever seen a Missouri resident with an Illinois FOID card? And they said, no, of course not. So I'd show it to them, and then I'd show them my Illinois concealed carry permit, both of which were then and still are pretty unusual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't know which is worse, Illinois or Maryland, when it comes to that.
Illinois, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, California, they're all horrific. Snack bar. We've avenged the prophet. We have avenged the prophet. Well, these guys...
It's not funny, but it's just so sick.
Well, here's the... here's the cartoon. Let's see. The last tweet from the magazine came less than an hour before... Oh, there was a tweet from the magazine depicting Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State, with a message wishing him best wishes. That doesn't sound terribly offensive to me, and I got a drawing of this guy behind a microphone making a speech, it appears.
Okay.
Well, that newspaper is finished. They may regroup and bring in a new editor and new cartoonist, but for the moment, that newspaper is no longer a functioning entity, is it?
No. With a majority of your staff dead or injured, no, you can't function. So, I guess it'll be a month before they put out another publication. They were a weekly, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. Well, these two Muslim terrorists are part of the tens of thousands of Muslims that have immigrated to France. Here's what they do. They do this in whenever they go to. They concentrate their numbers in a small area.
Right.
And so they're in Paris. It's a Paris one. There's I don't know how many Paris suburbs, but they've concentrated themselves in one or more Paris suburbs. They've done the same thing in Detroit. They've done the same thing in various Scandinavian countries, England, and so forth. And when they concentrate their numbers in a small area, they can quickly become an overwhelming majority in a very small geographical area. And there's, you've seen the photographs, Tim, of the Muslims having their prayer sessions where they get their butts up in the air five times a day, shutting down streets, shutting down public roadways to get their butts up in the air and have their prayers five times a day to the moon god, Allah. Allah is not the god of Moses and Abraham. Is the moon god. Allah is another way of saying
an
Satan, in my opinion.
To the god of Moses and Abraham and all. It's, no, completely different.
Allah is a god of fear, a god representing murder, pedophilia, and keeping more than a billion people in absolute unrestrained fear throughout their lives.
You're correct. Yeah, as a side note to what we're talking about, John, I noticed that the apparently the guy that's been doing all these beheadings on video got
Jihad
the same
John.
Treatment as well. Yeah, for smoking a cigarette. They found his head with a cigarette in his mouth.
Oh, really? Jihad John is dead?
I don't know if it was Jihad John, but they said he was the one that was in the videos doing the decapitations.
Well, consuming tobacco products is a violation of the Holy Quran, isn't it?
Yes. And it's there are
multiple
in the ISIS. The ISIS-controlled areas, it's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, are all pretty much death penalty actions, you know, to use those substances or to sell it.
Right, right. Well, it doesn't surprise me. These people are determined to have as much of the world as possible live in the, is it the 7th century or the 9th century?
7th, I believe.
7th century, yes, sir.
Yes.
50 generations of being encouraged by the prophet to marry their first cousins.
Right.
The DNA of a huge part of the Muslim world, more than a billion people, is forever unretrievably broken because of 50 generations of marrying their first cousins. On a low end, 40% in some Muslim countries. On a high end, when I checked last, Pakistan, running more than 60% of their people inbred. There's a lot of stories about Saudi Arabian pilot trainees, student pilots, and how the American flight instructors will have a class on a Monday morning, and when the students show up on Tuesday morning, they have to give a refresher of what was taught the day before, because these inbred students whose DNA is broken from inbreeding can't remember what was taught the day before.
Yeah. It's a pretty sad state of affairs. You know, who knows? Maybe if we let them go and just contain them, they'll wipe themselves out through this inbreeding, and we can hope, you know.
Well, I don't think we can wait that long, Tim.
No, because
we need, we as a country, we need to take care of our own. We need to stop Muslim immigration. We need to deport Muslims who are not here with proper documentation. We need to make it perfectly clear by educating the American public the true nature of the dangers presented by Islam to Western civilization.
Oh, I absolutely agree, John. The two, you know, here's what the bottom line is, and I wish people would understand it. The bottom line is either they're going to kill all of us or we're going to have to kill all of them. There's no in-between. There's no compromise. They will lie, cheat, and steal all under the auspices of their religion, you know, which says that's fine to lie, cheat, and steal, enslave, and kill the infidels. Therefore, they can't be trusted. You know,
well,
in any way, shape, or can't be trusted.
Short of killing all of them, the only model, and you know, I'm a big fan of looking around the world and seeing what works and what does not work. The only model I'm aware of where Muslims and other people can live more or less in peace is the model that Saddam Hussein had in Iraq, where he had Muslims,
right.
Various Muslims. Not, you know, he had the Sunnis, he had the Shiites, he had Christians and Jews. There was a large Jewish population in Iraq.
Yeah, all in his own government too.
And
look at Tariq Aziz. He was a Christian. You know, number three guy.
Tariq Aziz was he the second or third in command of the whole country?
I think he was third.
Third in command of the entire country was a Christian, Tariq Aziz.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to him, by the way? Do you have any idea?
He's in prison.
That's wrong. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. But Saddam Hussein was not a nice guy. On one hand. On the other, being what he was, a tough Middle East dictator, he had a country, Iraq, pretty well functioned, quite frankly, with daily commerce taking place, schools open and running, hospitals and clinics open and running, a infrastructure that was pretty much functioning with roads being built and maintained, potable water being delivered to people's homes, electricity being delivered to people's homes, sewage treatment plants functioning, telecommunications
correct.
Working, electricity working, being delivered. Yes, a banking system that worked, an economy that worked, and all these disparate groups, Christians, Jews, I don't know how many different varieties of Islam, because there's more varieties than just Sunnis and Shiites.
Oh, yeah,
occupying.
The only people he went after that I know of with a vengeance in his own country were the Kurds. And,
well,
you know, the Kurds aren't a great group of people either. But,
well,
you know, that was the only challenge to his power.
And there was a what might be called, described as a Mexican standoff between the Kurdish peoples and the Iraqi regime.
Right.
And at the time of when we decided Saddam Hussein was no longer our buddy and our ally, made him our enemy, there was a standoff, and the two groups were not, at least not at war with each other, and were standing their own ground, and there was no open warfare between the two groups that I'm aware of. The Kurds are they another branch of Islam?
You know, I'm not exactly clear on that. To be honest, the Kurds are actually a race, or not a race. Yeah, I guess that's
ethnic,
how you say it, a race.
Well, ethnic group.
And ethnic group, yes. I think a majority of them are Islamic, but I'm not positive of that.
Well, I'm not either, but it's an ethnic group that has not had their own definable homeland. I don't know if they had a definable homeland prior to World War One. That would be the most recent time. But their historical territory straddles the Turkish-Iraqi border, where they've been for we don't know how many thousand years. And it's been a struggle for these people. They would like to have territory of their own. And when the United States was trying to create a nation, part of the attempt was to establish definable territory for the Kurds, and even give them some oil revenue so they would have a source of income of their own.
That was the plan.
That was the plan. It didn't work. So now the Kurdish peoples find themselves with 7th century Islamic barbarians, Adam from the south, a Turkish government that really doesn't like them or tolerate them on the north. In fact, there's been warfare between the Turkish government and the Kurds off and on for many decades.
Yeah, about 40
and,
years, I think.
Yes. It's a tough place to be. And then we got these people, Yahdzee, is that how, Yahdzee, how do you say these people?
Yeah.
This other, Yahdzee?
Something like
yeah.
that.
Now, I was kind of shocked and surprised to find that these people, many of them are blonde-haired, blue-eyed individuals, which has to be a pretty rare thing in that part of the world. Tim, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break here. Let's see where we are. We'll take the bottom of the hour break right now.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for the rest. Nobody does it.
Imagine this, over 1,000 individual survival, informational and training documents, all stored on a device that is so small that you can comfortably carry it in your pocket, or even on a lanyard around your neck. RuralSurvival.info proudly offers a SanDisk Cruiser Switch USB 8GB flash drive containing more than 5.2 GB of information. This includes over 570 military field manuals, over 200 U.S. Army correspondence courses, as well as over 350 other useful how-to and general information documents. Visit RuralSurvival.info and click on the Digital Survival Library link at the top right side of any page. U.S. price including priority mail shipping is only $55.67. International priority mail shipping is also available. All major credit cards are accepted, as well as e-checks through PayPal. Visit RuralSurvival.info today.
Ladies and gentlemen, my website is TheLibertyMan.com. TheLibertyMan.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of my homepage, you'll find a logo for Freeze Dry Guy. Yesterday for lunch, I had some of Freeze Dry Guy's food, a Mountain House Pro Pack chili mac with beef. Very tasty with spicy chili sauce and beef, macaroni and beans. Very tasty, very nutritious, a lot of food, quite frankly. Half the meal filled me up. I'll probably eat the other half either at lunch today or just for my evening meal. Just heat it up and eat it. So go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Scroll down the right side to the Freeze Dry Guy logo there and click on it and see what he has to help you achieve your goals of food independence, of getting books that will help you learn about preparedness matters. He even has stabilizer for your gasoline and diesel fuel. So that's all you need to do is go to my website, scroll down the right side to the Freeze Dry Guy logo, click on it, and find the things that you need for preparedness. Also at my website, thelibertyman.com, you'll find the energy cleaner for sale. You may have heard me talking to Dr. Brent Caudill yesterday on Republic Broadcasting. I asked Dr. Caudill if any surgeon he knew would offer a money-back guarantee on back surgery, or knee surgery, or elbow surgery. He said, no, John, of course not. No surgeon is going to offer a money-back guarantee for the consequences of surgery. Well, Dr. Caudill then found out that I offer a 30-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. He wasn't aware of it. We hadn't talked for a few weeks. And he said, John, now that I know that, I'm going to be referring my patients to get energy cleaners. Now that I know you offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, I'm going to start referring my patients to get energy cleaners. And that's what we focus on, ladies and gentlemen, is two things. We focus on pain relief, and we focus on getting a better night's sleep. You can get the details at my website on the research and development of the energy cleaner, how to set it up, and so forth. You get your energy cleaner, you set it up. If you don't get the pain relief you're looking for, if you don't get the better sleep you're looking for, you got 30 days to get your money back guaranteed. Just box it up, ship it back, I refund your money, no questions asked. $285 shipping included. I take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. If you want to send me a check or money order, my address is at my website, thelibertyman.com. My toll-free order line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Of January. Quick reminder, next Monday I start my new schedule. Friday will be our last blog talk show. Beginning Monday, I'll have a 2-hour time slot on Republic Broadcasting from 0600 to 0800 Central Standard Time. It'll be a good change, and I hope everybody enjoys that. We do have patiently waiting to get back into our discussion here. Tim Spencer, the proprietor of ruralsurvival.info. And, Tim, you got your life back by using the energy cleaner, didn't you, sir?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's an understatement. I'm doing good. By the way, I went to the doctor the day before yesterday.
And?
He says everything's perfect. I got another 20 years.
All right.
A lot different than the evaluation I got when I got out of the hospital last year, 3 to 5.
Oh, with your heart thing was going on then.
Yeah.
Well, your lifestyle didn't help. You smoked like a chimney and were consuming artificial sweeteners.
That's true.
And the lifestyle has a lot to do with health, if not the major thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. John, not meaning to interrupt, a little bit of breaking news here from the AP. France's top security official confirms 3 gunmen carried out attack on French paper.
3 gunmen?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay. Well, it doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised they didn't have 6 or 20 of them. I mean, good grief.
Thanks for going after the media. Headquarters of media group PRISA, P-R-I-S-A, being evacuated in Madrid after suspect package was received.
Yeah. Well, I would not be surprised to see similar attacks in the United States, not at all. I'm quite frankly, I'm surprised we haven't had them yet. Well, here's some other breaking news locally, Tim. The temperature's dropped 5 degrees since I got up this morning.
Oh, yeah.
We're now at 12. It's going to be -1 degree tonight, actual temperature. At my website, and we have a one-page printout that you can look at and print out one or two copies or 100 or 500 copies for friends and family, talking about the true nature of Islam, the dangers of Islam, in a nice, compact, one-page article that has a number of website references people can go to for further education, don't we, Tim?
Yeah, and the fact is that, you know, that PDF file can also be emailed to people, and then all they got to do is click on the links instead of actually typing them in. So, yeah. Yeah, it's quite an extensive thing for just one page. We got a lot of information on there.
There is, and it's, you know, when you and I were discussing this a couple of months ago, I said, Tim, we need something that will fit on 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, that people can read it, people can print it out, people can forward it to friends and family, and do our bit, whatever it amounts to, do our bit to inform people about the true nature of this bizarre, freakish, barbaric, dangerous, alleged religion.
Yes. Yes, and that's our complete intent, is to, I'll say it, warn people not to be taken in by this crap. I don't know any other way to say it.
Or not to tolerate it. I mean, very few Americans are going to actually convert to Islam voluntarily. But I believe preventing conversion to Islam is a small portion of it. The main thing, from my point of view, is to educate people so they won't tolerate it being taught in the public schools. So they won't think that having a mosque being built in their community is just a dandy thing. So that they will, people will become aware of these dangers and not tolerate it, and do whatever they can within the confines of the rule of law to marginalize, minimize, and make sure Islam is marginalized and minimized within the United States of America. And, of course, England, Ireland, France, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the English-speaking world.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny now that the backlash, or not funny, but ironic, the country that has been most accepting to Islamic immigrants, of course, is Germany. In Europe, we're talking about Europe. Now, that is where the primary demonstrations against Islamic immigration are occurring. You know, literally tens of thousands of people protesting this. And, of course, the government is calling these protesters every foul descriptor you can imagine, from terrorists to racist and everything else. But now I'm also understanding some of the Scandinavian countries are also starting, the people are starting to resist this Islamification of their countries. So I think people are waking up, John.
They are, obviously. And I'm not aware of that happening in the United States to any great extent. I'm aware of small protests by either individuals or small groups of people. I'm not aware of any mass anti-Islamic demonstrations in the United States. Are you, sir?
No, not at all. In fact, is if you think about it for a minute, you can imagine the reaction of the press and the government if there were any of those. They would be first labeled, then prosecuted, and then persecuted for having the audacity to say that we shouldn't tolerate Islam in the United States.
Well, Americans have a well-deserved reputation for being very tolerant and very polite people. And Islam and the imams, they know this, and they're taking advantage of the good nature of American people in general, whether they're Christians or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John.
We need to, this is where our tolerance and our good nature as Americans is getting us in trouble, isn't it, Tim?
It is, and it's not just the tolerance, it's the political correctness bug that you know, it's been so prevalent for the last 25, 30 years. You know, you're not allowed to tell the truth.
No.
You know, because
no.
if you do, you're going to be ostracized. And I don't
no.
like that a bit.
No, no. The word fairness has morphed into becoming something else.
It has.
Fairness doesn't mean equal treatment. It means special treatment and special privileges. Using the example of women being integrated into the core of the military, most civilians who don't know about what's really going on, they believe that the young women that are going into the Army have to meet the same physical requirements as a man.
No, they can't.
They can't, and they won't. In
no.
fact, all the physical standards for people entering the Army have either been modified to accommodate the women or done away with because the women simply can't do it, no matter, except a tiny, tiny percentage. One requirement I frequently make reference to, it was a basic training requirement that if you couldn't do it, you would get a bad conduct or a medical discharge from the Army. That was a requirement to go to a quarter-mile track, pick up a soldier of equal stature, so a 150-pound soldier would pick up another 150-pound soldier and carry that 150-pound soldier of equal stature, fireman's carry, at a trot around the quarter-mile track.
Mm-hmm.
Almost no women can do that. There is a, when I say a tiny percentage, we're looking at, I would say, 1 to 3% of
adult. I'd say
adult,
that'd be about right.
Of adult women. Let's say 100.
Almost
no 150-pound woman can pick up another 150-pound woman and carry her fireman's carry across, around the track. That's just not going to happen.
And it's not these women's fault. We're not being sexist when we say this. It's just that they're physically incapable. You know, their bodies are not designed the same way as men, thank goodness.
No.
You know, it's not
women's
that
strength
they don't want
yeah,
to do
a
it.
Woman's strength is from the hips down. They have very strong leg muscles and hips. But the upper body strength is not and never will be a strong point for 99% of most women most of the time.
Right. You know, you might take some of the young ladies off some of these Ozark farms that can do it and, you know, do it at a run and not a trot, but that's different. That's not your average female, you know?
No.
But you get some young lady that's been carrying 3 bales of hay at a time every day of her life since she was old enough to walk, that might be different. But, you know, most of the women aren't going to be like that.
No. And we ran into that at West Point, United States Military Academy at West Point in the mid-1970s. I think it was about 77 that the very first female cadets showed up. The brightest, the best, the most athletic 18-year-old young women they could find. And none of them, not a single one, could do inspection arms with the M14 rifle. Not a one of them.
How'd they cure that? Did you just make them over the M1 carbines or something?
No, they couldn't do that because that would be obvious. That would be politically incorrect. They took the M14s for the women to the gunsmith, the armorer at West Point, and had them, the armorer, cut sections out of the recoil spring until the recoil spring was weak enough that the women could overcome the recoil spring and do inspection arms.
At that point,
of course, the M14s issued to the women would no longer function as a rifle. They were simply a display piece. Now, that was in the mid-1970s. That continues to this day. And everybody at West Point knows it. All the women know it.
Mm-hmm.
All the men know it. All the instructors know it, that these women cannot and will not be able to do the basic physical requirements of being a cadet at West Point. They're given a free pass. Where a man of equal size and strength would be sent home to his mama.
Correct. Well, you know, like I said, the political correctness is going to be the downfall of this country. I sincerely believe that. We are so afraid as a nation to tell the truth, to put out the word on, you know, what is real, vice what we as a people wish was true. You know, to me it's rather disgusting, and I can see it happening. You can see it happening. 99% of our listeners can see it happening. But there seems to me to be just no beating the conventional wisdom.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, our enemies, going back to the military, back in the early 90s when these proposals were introduced to integrate women into the Corps, there was some officers, U.S. Army officers, that spoke out, and they did the right thing. And it was the end of their careers. And the word got around pretty quick. The word got around pretty quick that if you speak out and do the right thing for the right reasons, your career is toast. You're finished.
That's correct.
As an officer in the U.S. Army, as an officer in the U.S. Marines, the Navy, or the Coast Guard, or the Air Force. End of story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to deal with a lot of this myself. After I got off my first submarine, I went to a submarine squadron, and I'd made some rank by then, and I was in charge of the personnel office to start with at the squadron. And I had well over a dozen females working for me.
Really?
And the frustration level was so high for me that they wound up transferring me out of the personnel department to what they called nuclear materiel's office.
Right.
Where basically all I did was keep track
let
of
me guess.
What they saw.
Now you and I, let me guess. Now, you and I have not talked about this previously, have we?
No.
Okay, so here's I'm going to speculate, and you tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong. I'm going to speculate the women had difficulty getting the work on time, ready to work when they were supposed to. The women wanted more time off to for personal reasons and for medical appointments. The women would complain about things that men aren't aware even exist. Now, I listed three things. Tell me which I was right and which I was wrong.
All three. You were right on. All three.
Okay. Now,
you know, where I actually got in trouble, John, was, you know, it's my time of the month, or I'm out of this and I got to do that. Well, what I did, I bought the biggest box of tampons I could find, put it in my bottom desk drawer, and every time one of them told me that, I'd open the drawer and say, there you go. And I actually got in trouble for that.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, that moved me to nuclear materiel, where basically all I did was, I was basically a glorified file clerk and an errand boy, and they needed somebody with TS clearance to move stuff between Naval Weapons Station Charleston and Charleston Naval Shipyard and Charleston Naval Base. And, you know, I was one of those guys that wore about 15 different IDs all at once. And, you know, my job was to move stuff from point A to point B and coordinate and write messages and, you know, right, stuff like that, which I actually enjoyed that job tremendously.
Well, my friend Command Sergeant Major Dan Page could do a three-hour lecture with two 15-minute breaks on nothing but the issues of women being integrated into the Corps. Now, ladies and gentlemen, women have a proper place in the military and have had for decades. That's in the medical corps.
I absolutely agree.
That is the highest and best use of the unique properties, the unique abilities of being a woman in the medical corps. And when we went from a very, very small army in 1941 to a military of 13 million or so, the very wise generals at the time and admirals, they knew how to properly integrate women into and be part of the medical corps, at the same time giving them and putting in place protocols and protections that protected them from sexual assault. As we've seen, sexual assault of women in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and Marines is off the charts, crazy, out of control. Well,
you're correct.
Human nature hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since World War II, hasn't changed since Moses walked this planet.
Correct.
If you put a young woman in close proximity to young men. Things are going to happen unless you have proper protocols and safety mechanisms in place to protect these young women from sexual assault. What we had in place from World War II up until the early 1980s, when all this silliness began, mid-70s, I guess might be more appropriate, that worked. Having women in the medical corps with proper protocols, procedures, and protection to keep them safe while making the highest and best use of the unique and very special and very important skills that women have in the medical corps.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, John. And that, you know, it's not that I'm trying to relegate all women to there. You know, also during World War II, women were very important for, moving planes across the Atlantic, you know, non-combat roles for in the Supply Corps also. That there was many functions that they could serve that were non-combat related. But I agree with you that the medical field is the absolute best place for them.
Well, I think we made our point on that. We got about a minute here to conclude our thoughts. Tim, your thoughts, please, to wrap up the show.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to go with the same thing I always say. Folks, you need to be aware of what's going on in your community and aware of what's going on in the world. Take that extra few minutes a day to catch up on everything. And so, you know, you can tell by what's going on today what's likely to happen tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest piece of advice. And the other thing is, write spiritually with your creator because that will help one survive whatever comes.
Absolutely. Tim, thank you, sir. We'll be talking privately soon. Appreciate you being with us.
All right. You have a good one, John. Take it easy.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for this show. Tomorrow morning, we'll have Tim Spencer back with us on Republic Broadcasting. We'll have open lines Thursday on Blog Talk Radio, Friday on Morrison in the morning, first show on Republic, and then Dr. Phil Myers on Blog Talk Radio. New schedule starts Monday. Blog Talk will be off the board, and we'll have 2 hours with Republic Broadcasting from 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. Don't forget, you can't go wrong. You're risking nothing with the Energy Cleaner, 30-day money-back guarantee. If you've got issues with pain, issues with getting a great night's sleep, order yourself an Energy Cleaner, $285, shipping included. Toll-free order line, 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. Get your medical supplies, your Energy Cleaner now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless America.
Have you